It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 330. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. If you have any questions or any suggestions for future show topics, you can email me, miketechshow@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow. And also, we have the wiki, mtswiki.com. I have a lot of things planned for tonight, and the topic that I was going to do, I changed at the last minute because of what I experienced on Tuesday night as I was trying to finalize my domain name migration from Brinkster to GoDaddy, and I learned a lot of valuable lessons that I'm going to share with you tonight and why it's not going to happen until the end of December. I have a voicemail from Buyer Brown asking a very strange question that I'm going to answer, and then I'm going to want all of you to answer, and everybody can, and send me in their response to this. I have another voicemail follow-up from last week, and then I have a couple emails. I also have some consulting stories. Let's begin with the consulting stories. Well, yesterday I was at a client that needed me to transfer information from one machine to another, to their new computer. No problem, that was a piece of cake. But they had a couple machines that they wanted me to blow away the data, blow away any traces of personal information, so that one machine could be traded into Staples for a rebate. Now, that was no problem, and I was able to use D-Band, blew the system away, and was able to just redo XP because you had to return it with an operating system. So I just did a quick default install of XP on the Dell. Well, the older computer, a much older computer that we needed to blow away the data, my client asked me, can you just blow this away so I can throw it away and get rid of it? I said, sure, no problem. It was a Gateway 2000, and it was running Windows 95. And I have not, as a matter of fact, I owned that very hardware years ago. And it had a CD drive, which I was surprised because a lot of early Gateways didn't even have CDs, early computers. Well, the D-Band CD is a CDR that I burned. Now, D-Band is a utility that will wipe a hard drive. So I figured I will boot up with the CD. It wouldn't recognize a CDR disk. This CD drive was so old that it wouldn't recognize it. So there's a floppy drive. I said, well, you know what? I'll just format a floppy disk and then just format the hard drive, so at least I can blow away everything. We could not find a 3.5-inch floppy disk. I'm not kidding. The day before yesterday, on Tuesday, my kids and I spent cleaning out an area where I have stored and mounted up just a lot of junk, a lot of computer items, a lot of things. And I think I felt guilty. I might have been watching an episode, the show called Hoarders. If you ever watch that, Hoarders, it makes you want to clean. It motivates you that you look at that show and you say, I can never become like that. And if there was ever a show to motivate you to get up and clean, that is it. And as Mitch said, it's a very sad show. It is. It is very sad. It's about people that have some real serious problems. And I'm not a hoarder, but there were stacks of boxes and things starting to pile up, and we needed to clean up. And I can't tell you how many floppy disks I threw away, how many CDs I threw away. Now I have no 3.5-inch floppies. My client couldn't find a 3.5-inch floppy. And I guess this is the lesson. You never know what system you're going to run into. And always keep a couple 3.5-inch floppies around. Throw them in your consulting bag. I am going to find one. And I'm going to format it where it will boot with like DOS 6.2 on it. And then put it in. Randy says a 5.25-inch disk. I don't know if I'll go that far. I don't know. But I did keep something. We found an old zip drive with 100 meg zip disks. And them I saved. Because I said, you know, I still run into clients that have zip disks. And it's always nice to be able to have that USB zip drive to be able to plug it in. And I think I threw away the Jazz drive, and that was a 1 gig Jazz drive. So all these iOmega storage devices, I owned them all throughout the years. So just a quick tip, you should really have a couple 3.5-inch disks with you because you never know what situation you're going to run into. Here's a quick story. Last night, I was trying to help a client, and this is a retainer client who at home, his daughter's notebook stopped connecting to the wireless router. We tried everything over the phone. I even tried a static IP address. I had him reset the router, and they have other notebooks that are connecting with no problem. We've rebooted the system. It was connecting, trying to acquire an IP address, but it wouldn't acquire. Well, I now have that notebook sitting here, and later tonight or tomorrow morning, I'm actually going to work on that and try to repair it. I'm going to load a new driver. I'm going to try a bunch of things. But I just wanted to share that if you have ideas for troubleshooting, I tried a lot of the standard stuff. And what I'm thinking, I'm going to remove the adapter, have the new driver ready, and just install a new driver. And I am suspecting that that's going to work. One thing, and you know I love Monoprice. They're not a sponsor. They're not even an affiliate. And they have that $9 USB wireless adapter. The one that I owned, I had to use that for a client this week whose Wi-Fi, something happened where it stopped working. And we tried everything, and all I was able to do was use this, you know, $9 adapter. It came right up and connected with no troubles. I'm now ordered a couple of them. I think they'll be in on Monday because that's another good item for your ultimate tool bag is this little $9 USB wireless adapter, and it does G and it does N. I think that's one of those things that it's also required to carry in your bag. So there's a few things. My trunk of my main car that I use when I'm visiting clients is starting to look like a small computer store because you never want to be at a client and not have it where you'd have to go run to a store or make another trip. So you try to have one of everything. I try to have the cables. I try to have, and it's hard because you never know what you're going to need for small parts. So I always have a brand new gig D-Link switch. Now, some of you, if you look over my shoulder who are watching on Ustream, you'll see the desk behind me and you start to see a little pile of things. That's starting to, I have inventory that I need network cards, a spare video card. You just got to be prepared for all the things. And I'm just now starting to build up a little bit of inventory. You don't want to buy too much, but you definitely have to have a couple spare drives. Like I always now keep a 500 gig brand new drive, SATA, and a terabyte drive. So I'm ready to sell that on the spot when a client's drive fails and I go in there, maybe extract the data and you got to put a new drive in. So you want to have items that you can upsell with a very high margin. That's why I always recommend great sites where you can buy cheap and sell higher and still save your client money, but you can make money. So that's why I like Monoprice because they have quality merchandise at very inexpensive prices. And I always, you know, I have a ton of Cat 5 cables. I love those little extenders, the pigtail power adapters that cyber guys have. That makes such an impression on a client. When I whip that out, when they have this big transformer that takes up multiple plugs on their power strip, and I pull out one of these $5 adapters, and even if you give it to them, it's worth it. It makes such an impression, because I can't tell you how many clients they look and they say, that is so cool. And just the fact that you carry something like that and you're prepared, it makes you valuable. It gives the impression that, wow, this guy is always prepared. He knows the little things that can make you more productive. And just be always conscious of that. And the more you're prepared, the more you're going to have your client, your customer, a customer for life, because they know they can rely on you. Like a Boy Scout, you're always prepared. So that's very important when you're consulting. Keep that in mind when I bring up these little things, because I think it's worth carrying, whether you keep in your, you know, truck, car, even in an area at your house that you designate for stocking up these things. Let's talk about domain transfers. Now, a lot of you have been following my tale of woe of my domain name. It's miketechshow.com. I originally purchased it from Brinkster 6 years ago. What you see now, when you go to my website, I have miketechshow.com. The domain name is maintained by Brinkster. It goes to mikenation.net, which is hosted by GoDaddy. I have it forwarding. But my real website needs to be miketechshow.com. So all I have to do is transfer the domain. So I had a couple domains that needed to be renewed. So mhs.me was coming up for renewal, and also the hosting, and then I had a couple other domain names. So I called GoDaddy on Tuesday night, and one of the things I have to mention, I have never had a bad conversation with GoDaddy. My experiences have always been great. Yes, they are an affiliate. I have an affiliate link, but and I'm hosted there, but that has nothing to do with my opinion. When I call them, I get a beautiful response where I have no problems. I've had no interruptions, only pleasant response. And this is a personal thank you to Adam, who will be listening to the show. And Adam, I want to thank you for all of your help, because what he did was not only square me away for all my purchases, that was easy. He helped me on starting the transfer of the domain. But here's what you have to learn when you're doing a domain transfer, and I broke one of the cardinal rules that you shouldn't, and did something that you're not supposed to do, and I did not know this. The first things that you need, your domain, when you're going to transfer it, you have to have it set for no privacy. Now, that makes sense, because if you have the privacy on, then there's no way they can send an email for the transfer, because they can't see what the email address is for the owner of the domain. So you got to take privacy off. You have to unlock the domain. Now, when you unlock, that means it can be transferred. If the transfer doesn't happen after a certain amount of time, I think within 30 days, some places will automatically lock it. So I have to unlock it. Now, again, no problem. Now, I don't have privacy turned on, and I can easily contact Brinkster and hope that they can turn on unlock. But I have a problem. The email administrator is mike@miketechshow.com. Now, you would say, well, that's not a problem. Well, for the last 5 months, I have not been getting the miketechshow.com email. Because when Brinkster started forwarding all of the traffic for the domain, my mike@miketechshow.com email kind of goes into the ether and it's lost, never to be found. And I have not worked out that solution, because with Brinkster, if I did work that out, the problem would be with the transferring, with the forwarding of the traffic. So I hope I didn't lose everybody. I've lost the ability to get that email. I mean, I still get my MikeTechShow@gmail.com, but I cannot get the MikeTechShow.com email. So if any of you are sending email to that, I can't get it. So here's what happens. I go in and I see that all the information's wrong in Brinkster. So I change and I update all the contact information. Now I'm on the phone with Adam. Adam does not know I'm doing that. I click submit. And when I tell Adam what I did from GoDaddy, he says, no. He says, you are not going to be able to transfer your domain for 60 days. Any update that happens with the name or the address, the contact information, when you do that and you update that on your domain information, by ICANN rules, you are not allowed to transfer the domain, and it is for your protection. So someone can't get in, quickly change the contact information, and then change the domain and transfer it. It's for our protection. And I never realized that. So make sure if you're going to transfer a domain that you do not change that or update that contact information. Well, I unfortunately did. So I got to wait 60 days before I can start the transfer process. Here's another one. If you get a brand new domain name, you cannot transfer it for 60 days. And then GoDaddy, when you get a domain, it is locked for 60 days because they were having a problem where someone was trying to steal a domain and transfer it from GoDaddy within GoDaddy. And they made sure that they have an extra rule on top of it for 60 days. And it, again, it is for the true owner's protection of the domain name. I completely agree with this, even though I'm in the middle of it. So I now have the right email set. When I'm allowed to transfer the domain, what they will do is kick off an email. I'll call GoDaddy in 60 days. They will send an email announcing that I am transferring the domain. That Brinkster will get that. I will get that at the admin email that I've set. Then I have to get an authorization code from Brinkster for that transfer. And then I got to go into my GoDaddy account and I got to put that information. And then the process takes 5 to 7 days. When I do this, I will make sure that there's no disruption because I already have the forwarding on. Once GoDaddy has MikeTechShow.com, when you type MikeNation.net or MikeTechShow.com, it'll be the same site again. But some of the issues that I'm getting with certain podcatchers that are pulling the XML file for my feed, the old feed, because it's redirected, it is causing issues. Once I get the domain under my control, those issues will go away. So that's a big problem I'm going to solve. The next problem then, I will transfer the MikeTechShow.com email. I will set up the MX records for Google Apps so I can get my email through Google and I won't be losing my mail. I can't do this till the end of December, which is great. So the beginning of the new year for 2011, I will have all of this worked out and hopefully it'll go well. And I will talk about that in 60 days. I have to wait. So we stay pat the way it is. It's working. It's not working as optimal as I would like it. Keep our fingers crossed that all that will go well. Again, I can't thank Adam enough for not only spending all the time with me, but going over everything, explaining everything, really hooked me up with some great discounts with my renewals. And I am very, very pleased and very, very happy. I can't ask for any more from a hosting provider than what I went through on Tuesday night. So thank you very, very much. Let's play Byer Brown's voicemail, waiting to hear this question.
Hey, Mike, this is Byer Brown coming to you live from the city of Pittsburgh, PA. I hope that this message finds you well. It's been a very long time since I've been able to send you in a message, and I'm really looking forward to you answering this question. I noticed that as I study tech, I start to look at people differently. So I wanted to know from you, what operating system do you think best represents the mind of a man? What operating system do you think best represents the mind of a woman? And what operating system do you think best represents the mind of a child? I look forward to hearing your answer. You already know I think you're awesome. May God bless and bye.
Byer, you blew me away by asking that question, and I gave it some thought, and I'm going to get a lot of feedback, I know, on this. So I'm going to ask right up front. I'm going to state what I think, and then what I would like you to do is give me your opinion. Write me, send me an email, send me a voice comment, and I'll have a little section, and we'll have a little fun with this, okay? So remember, we're going to have fun with this question. So in my opinion, if I had to say males, and I had to group them and say an operating system represents the mind of the male species, I would say Windows XP, because it's stable, it is reliable. Windows XP Pro, it's stable, reliable, very conservative choice. And that would be what my comparison to the mind of the male. Now, this is where I'm going to get in trouble. For the mind of the female, I pick the Mac OS X operating system because it is flexible, it's creative, if you want to be. It can be as easy as you want it to be to operate, but you can get really deep and techy by opening up a terminal prompt and bang, you're at BSD Unix. So it plays with both, I think, sides of the brain. So depending on how you are with, you know, with all the females I know in my life can fall into different areas of the Mac that they want to explore and use. Certainly more complex than the mind of the male, where we keep it simple, straightforward, XP Pro. It just works. It's the way it is, where you can get into some of the either simplistic or complexities of the Mac OS. So that's where I'm coming from for the female. For the mind of the child, I hope I surprise all of you, it would be the iPhone OS. And I consider that an OS because you can explore and it can have the games, it can have the communications, it can have all of the complexities that you may want, the social media that you want. You have everything that you want for a child to be able to expand, learn, and grow, and yet in a controlled environment. I think the iPhone OS. Now, here's what I thought was interesting. I didn't know where to answer for Linux. I looked at all my choices for operating system, and I didn't find anything for Linux. But while I was doing that, how about this, everybody? I did not know this existed. There is a Debian Junior project for kids. There is a Unix distribution for kids, and it's Debian Junior. I have not explored it, but that is something I'm thinking of throwing on an old system just to see what that's all about. Do we now have an operating system that we can recommend to our clients' families for children? How cool is that? We're going to definitely need reviews of that. We're definitely going to have to dive into that. But wouldn't that be cool if we have a really secure, interesting, easy to use, but yet can, you know, flexible enough for a child to work with? That's a great idea. You know, I wish Windows had something like that as a version. I think there's room for Windows 7 Junior. I really do. Where it's completely locked down the way you want it to be, and it's secure, and it's related all the options for a child. And I think that would be a great idea. Or do you disagree with me and think that it should be, you know what, just throw them right into the water. You know, that's how you learn how to swim. You drop them in and you learn. And so you just throw them right into Windows 7. Why should we have a children's operating system? 3-4 years old, should they be on Windows right out of the box? That's an interesting debate, I think. And we definitely have to have more information. And it's something that we usually don't have fun and talk about something like that. So I'd like to open that dialogue for future shows and comments. Fill up my email, my voicemail. Actually, the voicemail phone number I didn't give. It's 240-949-2450. If you can leave me a voicemail message, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Leave me a voicemail message on your opinion on this that buyer asked. He asked, hey, if you have to map an operating system to the mind of a male, a female, or a child, what would it be? And then the second part of that is, what do you recommend for children for an operating system? What's your opinion on this? And I know I'm going to get a lot of a good response from everybody out there. Buyer, you continue to amaze me with the intricacy and simplicity of your question. So keep them coming. I love it. Thank you. Here's another voicemail. And this is a follow-up to Alan's question from last week.
Hello, Mike. This is Alan Nation, State of Washington, calling you about the call last week where I was trying to figure out how I could use the Windows Live Mail to send pictures using the resize function in Windows 7. And you had mentioned using the right mouse click function and send to. So I just want to follow up with that. And I did try the right mouse click, changing that, several different options that I tried there, but none of them seemed to work. They always wanted to send the photos as a gallery inside of the Live Mail. So as far as I could find out, the Windows Live Gallery was the only way that I could use that resize option and get the mail sent through Windows Live Mail as attachments as opposed to getting them in a gallery. Mike, thanks for the great show. Hope to be able to hear it tomorrow night live. Thanks.
Hey, Alan, thank you very much for following up with me on that. That was interesting. I'm just not a Live Mail user, but I know a lot of you are, and that's why I never let my usage of something distract from not being talked about on the show, because you don't want just what I use. You know, we want things that'll, you know, everybody, and certainly it's impossible for me to experience every single program, every single facet of it's impossible. So I'm not afraid to say, I don't know. I haven't tried it. And that's what makes this give and take the, I look, as I always say, I am the conduit between all of the Mike Tech Show listeners, the Mike Tech Show family, that I will bring questions and comments, you know, back and forth. And we have this dialogue and we share. I think it's perfect. It's been working, you know, really well for 6 years, and may it keep continuing. A question from the chat that I have to address. Kins has said, when are we going to hear another Tech Vets? Well, there's now 3 Tech Vets in the can that are ready to roll that I got to start editing and releasing. Unfortunately, time has not been kind to me to be able to edit. So I will get those shows out. They're extremely interesting, and you're going to really love them. You just got to have patience, and I will get to them. But when I start editing them, they're going to come. It's going to be bang, bang, bang. You're going to get one every week. I will keep working on this. I got to get time. And again, probably the only time I have free coming up will be Sunday, because tomorrow I have a lot of things to do, and I have to squeeze in editing the Mike Tech Show. Saturday, I have consulting all day, and then I'm going to go to a movie Saturday night. Sunday, I get distracted by family things because it's usually the one day I don't have anything to do, and I tend to relax. I got to be in the right mood to edit, because I got to be motivated, and I got to be, you know, all right, I got to feel like editing and tackle it, and then I'll do a really good job. If I don't think I'm going to put, if my heart's not in it, and it's not that I don't want to, it's just hard to make the time because it's a serious commitment when you're out editing 2.5 hours, which is the first Tech Vets that I'm going to be releasing in this series of three. It's good to be busy, and it's important that I am busy. Since we're running out of time and I have a music to play tonight, there's one question I want to get to. He's not in the chat because Daniel lives in California. He is a tremendous longtime listener and big supporter of the Mike Tech Show. He's the one who sent me his full version of Windows Home Server just so I could play with it. And he sent a shrink-wrapped version to my house. He has a interesting question here. Hi, Mike. After having some issues with Windows Home Server used primarily for backing up 3 home systems, I'm beginning to look at alternative backup solutions again. I suspect I'm losing a drive in the drive pool on the Windows Home Server box, but I'm not sure which may be failing. Until I figure that out, I gave TrueImage 2011 a shot, but since it's freshly released, there's some bugs that need to be fixed before I trust it. I can probably still fall back to TrueImage 2010 or Shadow Protect, but I'm wondering if there might be some decent solutions for backing up systems more on the file level than the disk image level. I used to use old products like Backup Exec, but if there are any products you or someone can recommend, I'd be interested. Now, this is backing up the desktop, or I want to make sure, Daniel, that I'm clarifying this. It's not to back up your Windows Home Server. It's an alternative to Windows Home Server, which you're currently using to back up, but you want to just back up your desktop. Right now, my recommendation is just go right to Shadow Protect for the backup, and you get the image. But remember, even though you have the image, use the incremental feature. And it won't be a big image each time. You know, you could do an image once a month and do an incremental every day. And the way you can build those incrementals, and you know how easy it is to just pick one incremental, and if you need to restore everything, it'll restore everything back to the full. So that might be your best bet. Another one, if you just want file level, you know, I still love Syncback, but remember, that's not getting an image of your system. That's just backing up the file level. Syncback is a great program that I continue to use. It is my primary backup. Kins has a great idea in the chat, RoboCopy. It's classic. It's simple. And Daniel, since you're a programmer, I know with mentioning RoboCopy, Daniel's going to say, oh, Mike, I can't believe it. And, you know, there's even GUI front ends to RoboCopy. RoboCopy is a program that we actually use to transfer all the files. When I did the server migration, Winston had scripts that he used RoboCopy to get all the files from the one server to the other. The reason why I mentioned the GUI is because a lot of us non-programmers likes the GUI front end. Daniel, I'm confident that the free RoboCopy that you can download, and you probably already have it, that might be the best thing to kick off with a scheduler to copy all your file levels. Kind of hard to get better than that. I think that is it. Before I play the music, I got an interesting email that said, Mike, I don't like, now you know the last few weeks I haven't been playing any music. I just haven't had time to find any. I always play the music, then I start talking about my affiliates. One of my listeners sent in an email and said, Mike, you should talk about that before the music, because I bet you a lot of people kind of tune out before the music and then they're missing. Take a moment when you get a chance. If you are buying anything from Amazon, please use my affiliate link. It's right at the top on the left-hand side of the website at miketechshow.com. Click that. It just takes you to Amazon, and then you can go anywhere you want and buy. I love hearing that there are users that have taken that shortcut and have incorporated it into their system so they don't even have to go to the website and they can use that every time they're purchasing. I really appreciate that. Also, if you're doing anything with GoDaddy, I have a nice GoDaddy link on the left-hand side. Go down, click that, and that will automatically give you a link using the code POD136, and it will give you a 10% discount, which is always good when you're buying hosting. There's other affiliate links. Please check them out, especially the computer repair kit and the laptop repair videos and the videos to teach you how to build a very good tech repair website. So with that, I have some music from a popular internet artist. And I say internet artist because Callie Lewis, I know, plays his music, and she has different shows with him. And he's more of the geeky composer, and his name is Jeff Smith. And I've listened to him, and we have a song here called, very appropriately, Ones and Zeros. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Switch off the screen when they start getting mean. It's only silly words from someone you've never heard of. Don't cry about it. There's no use about it. Everybody knows it's only ones and O's. That's the way it goes today. Everyone repeats, so you can just delete. It's just another game, just like yesterday. Turn off the sound when the hating starts going round. There's always someone that loves to say they're the right ones anyway. Turn the comments off. Just turn. Everybody knows it's only ones and O's. That's the way it goes today. Everyone repeats, so you can just delete. It's just another game, just like yesterday. Just another game, just like yesterday. Everybody knows it's only ones and O's. That's the way it goes today. Everyone repeats, so you can just delete. It's just another game, just like yesterday.
That is Jeff Smith and the song Ones and O's, and I will have a link to Jeff's site in the show notes. That's it. I want to thank everybody for supporting the show, downloading, and staying subscribed. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for being part of the Mike Tech Show family, and I look forward to next week. Same time, same channel. That's it. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.